And now we want to take another dive into our continuing series on climate, covering climate now, with a look in the mirror. What are you wearing? When we think of fossil fuel, we think of smokestacks and coal mines, not what's in your closet. But in fact, about 60% of synthetic fabrics are made of fossil fuels. And of those, 85% end up in landfills where they won't decay or decompose. And it's only getting worse because of fast fashion, those quickly and cheaply produced items that knock off the runway styles, sometimes so cheaply that they get thrown out after a single use. Think Primark or Zara. Carrie Summers is founder and global operations director of Fashion Revolution, an advocacy organization that, among other things, is addressing the environmental cost of fashion. She's outside London. And Carrie, this has become a big deal. Your organization is growing, you know, by leaps and bounds. Lucy, how many members do you have?
Oh, gosh, loosely. I know we had around 3.5 million people who engaged with Fashion Revolution over the course of last year. And since the Rana Plaza factory collapsed in Bangladesh 6 years ago, we've become the world's largest fashion activism movement.
Well, you mentioned this horrific factory collapse in Bangladesh where people realized these were, you know, largely young people who were making their clothing in horrific conditions. How many people died approximately?
It was 1,138 people who died, and around 2,500 people were injured.
That week in April every year is a Fashion Revolution week.
That's correct, with events all around the world, lots of events happening to show people that there's a better way to fill our wardrobes, but also to put pressure on those brands and retailers to really urgently start to clean up their acts and to do more to ensure that there's not human rights abuses and environmental degradation within their supply chains.
And talk about the environmental issues.
In many ways, the world's major fashion brands have played a huge part in accelerating climate change. I mean, for instance, the global fashion industry emits 1.7 billion tonnes of CO2 annually. That's more than the amount created by international flights and shipping. It's raw material, 60%, around two-thirds of our clothing comes from synthetics. Synthetics are derived from fossil fuels. Turning them into materials is really carbon intensive. And when we look at what brands are doing in terms of the carbon footprint, we have an annual Fashion Transparency Index. We rank 200 of the world's largest fashion brands and retailers according to their level of transparency. And even though about 55% of brands are publishing their annual carbon footprint in their own sites, only 19.5% are disclosing their carbon emissions within the supply chain. And this is where over half of the industry's total emissions occur. It's been estimated that an 80% industry-wide emissions cut is needed by 2050 to align the industry's emissions with even a 2 degrees warming scenario. But at the moment, fashion's carbon emissions are projected to increase by more than 60% by 2030. So we've really got to see brands and retailers doing so much more.
Here's some of the examples you give. Polyester. It comes from fossil fuels, which contribute, of course, to global warming, but also shed those microfibers that are adding to levels of plastic in the ocean. Processing leather, so many chemicals that are added to the tan hides, that goes into the environment. It's textile waste. And fast fashion particularly adds to this problem because these are such cheap articles. They may look great. They may look like something you saw on the runway. They're great knockoffs. But you throw them away because they don't last.
Exactly. I mean, like you said, they're being made from very cheap synthetic materials. And in our index, we found that only 15% of brands have any kind of time-bound measurable goal to actually reduce their use of virgin plastics. And there's around 150 billion new items of clothing which are being put on the market every year. And estimates are saying that around 25% of that clothing remains unworn. So really what we need to do is to care for our clothes. We need to make them last longer. And even extending the life of our garments by an extra 9 months of active use would reduce the carbon, water and waste footprint by around 20 to 30% each.
One of the things that was so disturbing to read, it's all disturbing, but we had gone to faux fur as a protection of animals, but also hoping that that was using less chemicals. But we understand now that people discovered that faux fur was not as cheap as, let's say, cat fur. So a lot of the things that people think are faux fur are actually things like cat fur?
Yes, I mean, we have seen faux fur coats which are being made from real fur. But at the same time, I mean, whoever thought faux fur was a good idea? Faux fur is made from synthetics. It's all microfibers. And it's estimated that a faux fur coat would take around 1,000 years to break apart in landfill. I'm not going to say degrade or break down because it never disappears. These are just going to reduce into smaller and smaller and smaller pieces of plastic. All of these plastics are going to the oceans and they're killing fish, they're destroying our ecosystems and probably, you know, killing more species than the fur coats that they are intended to replace.
Well, so you are also coming up with solutions and there are all sorts of campaigns. Make It Last is one. Stella McCartney has really been at the forefront of this. Buy fewer things, better quality, keep it longer.
Yes, no, that's absolutely right. We need to be keeping our clothes for longer. We've been involved in this cycle where we buy and discard and we buy and discard too fast, unsustainably. Estimated that in North America, 10.5 million tonnes of clothing are sent to landfill every year. That's about 30 times as heavy as the Empire State Building. And even when we're sending our clothes to charity shops, to recycle, to thrift stores, then a lot of this clothing is getting sent to sub-Saharan Africa, to Central America, to Latin America, and it's destroying the local textile and tailoring economies there. So we're going to have to start to deal with our own waste clothing. I mean, as you said, there's fantastic ways to get new clothes without buying new. So we can hire, we can rent, we can swap. Or we can, you know, invest in clothes which are made by artisans, which have taken time and skill to produce.
Well, in her new book, Fashionopolis, Dana Thomas talks about designers who are producing sustainably. I mentioned Stella McCartney. There's also Natalie Chainin. She has a business called Alabama Chainin and sells clothing that's sustainable, local, from cotton that's grown there. Greenpeace is pressuring brands to remove dangerous chemicals from their supply chains through the Detox the Catwalk campaign. But Carrie Summers, I can hear particularly young people saying, well, wait a second, it's easy for some of you who've been working for a couple of decades and maybe have a steady income to go out and buy that one lovely thing that's more expensive that you'll wear for the rest of your life. I can't. I don't have an income. And in the first time in history, really, I can afford things that look like designer things, even though they're cheap. Why should I give that up? I mean, how do you argue that?
Well, basic ethical standards actually shouldn't cost that much more. When you buy a garment, the cost of the labour is typically between 1 and 3%. We did a cost breakdown of a 29 euro t-shirt, and the labour cost was 18 cents. Paying a fair living wage would bring that labour cost up to 45 cents. So really that's such a small difference. We were part of a survey 2 years ago of 540 garment workers in Cambodia, India and Bangladesh. 40% of the workers in Bangladesh had seen a fire in their place of work. People are still taking risks every day to make our clothes. Women are subject to violence, to abuse. 5% of the workers we talked to had been hit. And we really have to see brands doing so much more.
You've been to Bangladesh. What have you seen?
Yes, I mean, 2 years ago, I visited the garment factories and the tanneries in Bangladesh. I saw young underage workers there with no health and safety equipment at all, barefooted on top of the pile of hides containing toxic chemicals. I saw the effluent flowing out of the facilities into the drainage ditches and out into the local Delishwari River, which is home to the red-listed river dolphin. And I was told that no brand ever goes to visit the tanneries. You know, this is something we found in our Fashion Transparency Index. Only 38 out of the 200 brands are disclosing their processing facilities. So this is where the tanning takes place, as well as ginning, spinning, printing, dyeing. And only 10 brands are disclosing the facilities or farms supplying some of their fibres. And we know that the further down the supply chain, the more we're likely to see environmental abuses. We know that a lot of the human rights abuses, like modern slavery and forced labour, exploitation thrives in hidden places.
Do you think that, as some are saying, maybe it is millennials who might have benefited from this, being the younger people who are buying from some of these chains, who are now turning their backs on them? Do you see some hope?
Yes, I certainly do see hope. The fashion resale market is expected to be bigger than the fast fashion market within the next decade. We've seen it growing 21 times faster than fast fashion in the last 3 years. And we've seen such a difference, even in the last 12 months. So we can ask the brands that we love the question, who made my clothes? What are they doing to address the concrete measures which are of interest to us? Once they receive a certain number of messages, typically between about 50 and 200 on a certain issue, that will immediately get escalated to board level for further discussion.
That's Carrie Summers, founder and global operations director of Fashion Revolution. Carrie, thank you.
Thank you.